The following message, The Parable of the Sower, Part 5, is the 61st in the series titled, The Words of Christ in the Synoptic Gospels. This message was based on Luke 8, verses 1 through 18, and was delivered on Sunday morning, August 17, 2014, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Robert Martin.
Please turn in your copy of God's Word to Luke chapter 8. For some weeks we have been considering together what is now called the parable of the sower. We begin our reading in verse 4 of this chapter. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But other fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with care, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. In this parable, the Lord Jesus uses the imagery of a farmer sowing seed. And he uses this imagery to illustrate the experience of the proclamation of the Word of God and how it is received. In the parable, there are four kinds of soil, just as there are fundamentally four kinds of gospel hearers. In the opening part of the parable, our Lord speaks of the seed that is cast by the wayside, that is, that lands upon the hard-trodden earth. And as that seed is lying there, he tells us that the devil comes and snatches it away so that it takes no root. It is a description of those who hear but do not hear. It is a description of those who do not receive the word with approval and with joy. It is a description of those who, if they have any emotional response to the gospel at all, it is that of revulsion and rejection. Under the image of the stony ground, our Lord describes the circumstance of those who receive the word immediately with great passion and great joy. And yet the word finds no real fruit in their understanding, no real root in their understanding. And in time, the shallowness of the root betrays the seed that was sown, and no fruit is brought forth. Under the image of the thorny ground hearer, we have the image of those who receive the word, they have an understanding of the word, and yet in time, as our Lord says, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of life choke the word so that it is unfruitful. In each of these cases, there is no fruit brought forth to maturity. There may be at some point that which appears to be fruit. In the case of where the seed actually sprouts, and yet at the harvest, nothing is gathered for the farmer's labors. It is only the last ground, it is only the good ground that yields a harvest. Our Lord says, other fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded fruit 100-fold. In the parallel passage in Mark's Gospel, we have a bit more detail. We are told that the seed falling into the good ground yielded fruit, growing up and increasing, and some brought forth 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The image, again, is simple to understand. When seed falls into good ground where none of the conditions exist which hindered it in the first three cases, then that seed springs up, it increases over the growing season, and then yields a harvest at the time of reaping. Its growth may not be steady, it will experience different conditions along the way, but in time the fruit ripens and the harvest is realized. And it is in this case and in this case alone that the expectation of the sower, the hope of the sower, is fulfilled. And it's only in this case that he then can return from the field at harvest rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now when Jesus comes to interpret this part of the parable, he says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, that is, hold it fast and bear fruit with patience or with perseverance. The parallel account in Matthew's gospel says that those who hear the word and understand it, that is, who comprehend it, who indeed bear fruit. And in Mark's gospel, we find these words. They are those who hear the word and receive it, that is, receive it into their minds and receive it into their hearts and bear fruit. Apparently, our Lord used all these terms in describing good ground hearers, with the purpose of helping us to understand how good ground hearers differ from the other kinds of hearers that he describes in the parable. And the difference which he portrays is this. Good ground hearers not only hear the gospel, they not only comprehend or understand it thoroughly so that they're not confused as to its terms, but they also receive the gospel not just into their minds, but into their hearts, where they hold it fast against all the assaults of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in. They hold it fast so that it takes root and it grows and it produces fruit for the harvest. Now, what is the difference? What distinguishes good ground hearers compared to other hearers of the gospel? Well, our Lord sums it up in a very compact expression. We are told that they hear the word with a noble and a good heart. This expression is found only here in the Bible, but it has the ring of a proverbial expression. They received the word into a noble and good heart. It conveys the idea of a heart that is ready and a heart that is suited to receive the word in the same way that the good soil is ready and suited to receive the seed. This is apparently what distinguished the Bereans. If you'll turn, please, to Acts chapter 17. We find an illustration of this idea in the coming of the gospel to the Greek city of Berea. Acts 17 and verse 10. The brethren sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded, or noble, as the older version translates. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And in what was their nobility to be seen? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. When we think about the Bereans, on the very surface of the text, as it describes how they received the Word of God, we're told they're very different from the Jews of Thessalonica who rejected it, who did not want to hear anything contrary to their traditions and to their settled opinions. The Bereans were cut of different cloth. They wanted the truth. And they wanted nothing but the truth. And they searched the Scriptures daily as Paul is preaching the gospel, as he's opening the Word of God, as he's taking them to places like Isaiah 53 and Habakkuk 2:4. as he's opening these great mountain peak gospel texts out of the Old Testament, there the Bereans are searching the Scriptures. They're not just looking at Paul. They're not just listening to Paul. They fix their eyes on the Scriptures, whether the things Paul is saying are true. Almost everything that he says to them is going to cut across some cherished tradition of Judaism. But they fix their eyes upon the Scriptures. And they allow their minds and they allow their hearts to be persuaded by the testimony of the Word of God. And they let no other consideration turn them away from Christ. Not the pull of tradition, not the opposition of their neighbors or their family, not the potential cost of professing Christ. No, they searched the Scriptures. They received these things as true because they were grounded in the Scriptures. And then they believed on Christ, the cost notwithstanding, to the saving of their souls. They didn't, as the wayside hearers do, turn away from the gospel as though it were unimportant, as though nothing of relevance was said, as though something were put out that is simply take it or leave it, and it doesn't matter which. That wasn't their response. They didn't respond without thinking. They didn't just have a rush of emotion and embrace some indistinct ideas about Christ and about salvation. They weren't like the rocky ground hearer. And they didn't let the cares of this world, they didn't let the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things entering in, hinder the gospel from getting a grip upon their hearts. And they would have faced all of those things. They would have faced the same temptations, the same cares, the same concerns that everyone else in that society, in that culture would have faced. Instead, they heard the word with a noble and a good heart, and they held it fast to the harvest. Turn back a few pages to Acts chapter 10. The same is true of Cornelius and those gathered in his house to hear Peter's preaching. Luke tells us how Peter comes to be at Cornelius' house, how he comes to be in the house of a Gentile, a Roman centurion, of God's vision, of God's sending him. Peter even speaks of his reluctance to go. But in verse 33, we find the testimony of a noble and a good heart. Cornelius says, I sent to you, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you of the Lord. Again, their hearing, the hearing of Cornelius and those of his household, was not marked by reluctance. It wasn't marked by superficiality. It wasn't marked by mere intellectual interest. Those present on this occasion did not have to be forced to be there. Cornelius had not used his influence as a Roman officer to bring others into his home. No, they were there willingly. They were there to hear. And they did not treat the word that was to be proclaimed to them as though it were of no matter. They don't treat it superficially. They're not content to hear a few ideas strung together with a bit of eloquence, but with no concern to understand it, no concern to take it into their hearts. That's not what happened in Cornelius' house. And these were not like the men of Athens who loved to hear some new thing and would listen to the gospel preached with a degree of intellectual interest, but with no intent whatever of taking any of it seriously. Cornelius, speaking for those present with him, tells us that they listened with the consciousness that God was present. That when the gospel was preached, when the word was preached, that God was present. He was there to see how they had received the word. God was present not only, they understood, as a witness to Peter's preaching, they understood that he was a witness to their hearing and would take account of how they heard. They listened with the commitment to universal obedience. They didn't have a list going in the door. Now, if he says this, we'll believe that. If he says that, we will do that. But not these other things. Cornelius says, we are all here gathered in the sight of God to hear all things commanded you of the Lord. There was an openness to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That was a mark of a noble and a good heart. They stood before Peter, or sat before Peter on this occasion with the recognition that the preacher of the word was God's soldier under command of his commander, coming with God's authority, delivering God's message, and that they were obliged to receive it. Cornelius says, we are all present in the sight of God to hear all things commanded you of the Lord. In a word, they were good ground hearers. Their hearts were ready. Their hearts were suited for the seed of the gospel. They did not come with any commitment to how far they would be willing to go. This far, but no farther. They came to hear the truth, like the Bereans, to know whether these things are so. Their hearts were ready and suited. Our Lord in this parable also tells us that the good ground indeed yields varying degrees of fruitfulness. He speaks of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. One reason he says this is to underscore that the Word of God, in fact, does not bear the same amount of fruitfulness in every Christian. There are varying degrees of fruitfulness amongst Christians. Some Christians, as the result of the working of the Word of God within them, and the working of the Spirit of God within them, some Christians, in fact, bear more of the fruits of righteousness in this life than others. That's a simple fact. Not all Christians will bear fruit 100-fold. Some will bear only 30-fold. Some perhaps 60-fold. There will be those who will bear 100-fold, but not all. But whatever be the cause of the difference, the brother or sister who bears only 30-fold is still a brother and sister in Christ, who's to be received and to be loved for Christ's sake. There may be an inequality in terms of fruitfulness, but an equality in terms of standing before God. For the gospel has found root in a noble and in a good heart. Another reason Jesus speaks of varying degrees of fruitfulness amongst a good ground here, perhaps even the foremost reason that he does this, is to separate clearly this category of gospel hearers from that which goes before. We are not to think of good ground hearers as though they merely bore more fruit than the wayside hearers or the stony ground hearers or the thorny ground hearers. That's not what our Lord is describing here. For in those cases, no fruit is produced whatever. All the fruit of gospel seed sown comes from the seed that falls in good ground, although it comes in varying degrees. And so the test, therefore, whether soil is good ground is that it bears fruit, and that it bears fruit with perseverance or with patience. Fruitfulness is the test of life, not mere profession, not mere gospel experience, but fruitfulness. And where there is genuine gospel fruit, though only 30-fold, there the gospel seed has taken root in the heart and indeed is increasing towards the harvest. Now, what should we think when we consider our Lord's words about the good ground hearers? Well, consider first that our Lord here points to a very encouraging fact about the preaching of the gospel. When we encounter wayside hearers and rocky ground hearers and thorny ground hearers, it's very discouraging. For almost 20 years, I've been preaching from this pulpit, and I've seen a great many faces, a great many people have come and gone. And there have been those who have been present among us from time to time, and I have thought, there's a wayside hearer. Even in the public worship of God, with the word being preached, attention is somewhere else, totally somewhere else. In some cases, in our modern electronic age, as the technology has become more portable, there have been people who have sat in this very auditorium and been occupied with their iPhones or their iPads or their I don't know what's. But they've been wayside hearers. In some cases, you can read the rejection on their faces. And how discouraging that look is from up here. I've seen others who seem to have received the word with joy, and yet in time it became evident that the roots were shallow and the scorching heat of the sun withered and killed the plant. And I've seen the joy go away and the reality of unbelief begin to appear. And I've seen the thorns choke some. Now from here, that's discouraging. Because you plant the seed with hope of a harvest. You plant the seed with the hope that it's going to fall in a noble and a good heart. You plant the seed because you want to see people converted. You want to see their Christian lives thriving. Like the sower in the parable, we scatter the gospel seed in hope of a harvest. And when we see that seed being snatched away, if our physical eyes could see the devil, we would see him snatching the seed away. When we see that seed being received superficially, when we see it being choked out by the things of the world, we can't but grieve. We sow in hope. We want to return at harvest rejoicing. And when we go back to those places where we've sowed gospel seed, where we prayed and sought to nurture the seed, and there find barren earth instead of ripe grain, our hearts are cast down. And we're grieved to think that all is for nothing. But that's not the whole story, is it? And truthfully, if that was the whole story, I would quit. I wouldn't have been here over the last 20 years. Our Lord here tells us that God's Word, the gospel of salvation, does not return to Him empty. Though much of the seed indeed seems to be sown in vain, yet much of it will fall in good ground. And it will spring up. And it will increase. And it will produce a harvest. By God's sovereign grace and power, there will be those who hear the gospel, who give it the consideration that it warrants, who understand it thoroughly, so that there is no real confusion in their hearts as to its terms, and who will receive it into their hearts with eagerness and sincerity, who will hold it fast, and who will bring forth fruits 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. That's the good news. God is a God of sovereign grace. And were He not, all the seed would fall by the wayside and in the stony ground and in the thorny ground. But He prepares the good and the noble heart. It is He who makes us to differ. Consider further that this parable portrays a situation that's very strange to many. People constantly are sitting in judgment on preachers of the Word. Criticizing preachers of the Word for how they speak, whether they speak with eloquence or without eloquence, whether they're messages are easy to follow or not easy to follow, whether the points were developed in the way that made it suitable for the hearer's own taste. All sorts of criticism. We're used to sitting in judgment on the preacher. But here our Lord says it is the hearers who will receive the greatest scrutiny. There's not a word here about take heed how you preach. Now, preachers ought to take heed how they preach, but that's somewhere else in the Bible. Here, take heed how you hear. William Hendrickson suggests that this parable really is an exhortation to self-examination, leading either to basic conversion or either to further sanctification. It is a call to self-examination. Take heed how you hear. What is the case with you? What kind of hearer are you? What kind of soil are you? And if you will be honest with Judgment Day honesty, applying the biblical measure for determining that, then Hendrickson says it will either lead to your conversion or it will lead to your further sanctification or growth in holiness. If in Judgment Day honesty you have to say, I've been a wayside hearer, I've been a stony ground hearer, I've been a thorny ground hearer, the seed of the gospel has produced no fruit in my life other than a few superficial things that anyone could fake, then the Word of God says to you, you need to be converted, you need to be born again. You need to repent of your sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If your answer is, well, though I'm only a 30-fold, maybe even a 20, maybe even a 10, maybe even a 5, but not 100-fold. There's a call. The call is to follow after holiness, to seek the Lord's face and get your nose in His Word and seek for the right way that you might walk in it. There's no earthly reason a 30-fold hearer can't be a 100-fold hearer. What kind of soil am I? What kind of hearer of the gospel am I? Am I bearing as a Christian? If in the judgment of honesty, in the judgment of charity, if I am in the category of the good ground, am I bearing as much fruit as I can from the gospel seed which has been planted in my heart? Consider also, though I've touched on it just very briefly, that if you are good ground, if that's reality, if you've received the gospel into a noble and a good heart, you must understand it is solely by God's grace. Who has made you to differ? The question is not just what has made you to differ, in that you've repented and believed, in that you've been converted, and had been set on a course of walking in newness of life? Not just what, but who has made you to differ? And there's only one. Did you change your heart? Did you dismiss your unbelief and replace it with faith in Christ? Did you turn your back on sin? Was that your idea? And you broke its bonds by what power? For you were enslaved to it. No, God did it. By His almighty power, He broke the bands of sin and set the prisoner free. God has made you to differ, believer, and what you have, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, what you have received from Him. And you are able then to confess with the Apostle Paul, who says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Good ground hearers ought to be holy people, but we ought to be humble people and thankful people, full of praise to God for rich mercy. It is of Him, Paul says, that you are in Christ Jesus. It is from Him that you are in Christ Jesus, so that as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. He who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Now, do you understand these things? Believer, do you understand that you have been the object of remarkable lordly grace? Do you regard your conversion as a miracle? Not as something that you pieced together from whatever resources you thought you had, but a bona fide miracle in which one dead in sin has been raised to newness in life. A miracle in which a heart of stone has been replaced by a heart of flesh that beats with the heart of God. You see, it is this attitude, as much as anything else, that sets good ground hearers apart from others. Good ground hearers' hearts are full of what God has done for them. In a very real sense, all good ground hearers are like the demon-possessed man that Jesus delivered, that's mentioned later in this chapter. He went his way, we are told, publishing throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Throughout this study of the parable of the sower, I've pressed one simple question. How is it with you? What kind of soil are you? What impression has the Word of God made in you? The Lord Jesus, whose voice shall raise the dead, and who shall set in judgment at the last day, puts his finger on the most salient point when he says, take heed how you hear. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before you again this day, asking that your grace indeed would be applied with sovereign power. O Lord, to the hearts of those who heretofore have not received the word into a good and a noble heart, we pray that you will give them ears to hear, that you will open their minds to understand and their hearts to receive the truth which you have proclaimed about them and about their only hope of salvation, which is in Christ. Lord, look with mercy, we pray. And Lord, we pray that each one of your true people who are here this day, that we would derive from this parable, that we would hear its call to a bearing of even greater fruitfulness, that the seed planted in our hearts might increase and grow and multiply to your glory and to the encouragement of your people. O God, we ask for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.